You've tuned in to Wednesday Night Bible Study at Central Baptist Church.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We want to welcome you to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church. It is actually September the 23rd. It's hard to believe this year has gone by as quickly as it has, even in the middle of a pandemic. Tonight, we're actually going to be looking at passages out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be looking at passages in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Now, to start off with, I want to ask you a question. We've often heard this statement, and for a lot of us, we understand the concept that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I hope and trust and pray that is your concept as well when it comes down to giving. I can think of times where, you know, I have worked hard to do something, gain something, that I might be able to give that to somebody else. And I know the great joy that comes along with when you take that opportunity to give of something that you have put yourself into. So as you think about that, who is it that you really like to give things to? And then I want you to think about why it is. What is it in your life that makes that statement that it is more blessed to give than receive? What is it that makes that concept true for each and every one of us? As we look at these particular passages in 2 Corinthians, Paul begins to tell us about the benefits of being a giver, and not only being a giver, but being a cheerful giver. Let's look at the word together this evening. Out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to begin reading with verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. It says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Verse 9, "As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Verse 12, "For the administration of this service not only supplies the need of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this evening, we ask that you truly would have your will and way in our heart and in our life. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to search the Spirit's movement and speaking to each and every one of us through your word today. Lord, may you bless that reading, and may you work in our hearts that we might become everything you want us to be, particularly when it comes down to the area of giving. Lord, may we have a new sense of what you want us to accomplish through you and for you, that we might be instruments in your hand to truly meet the needs of others. So we ask that you would bless our time and speak to our hearts as only you can, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look at these particular passages, particularly in this text, Paul is telling us about the benefits of being a cheerful giver. But he goes on and he says some pretty incredibly exciting things. Let's start at verse 6. It says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." When I see that particular passage, it often reminds me of times in my life when I had an opportunity to sow grass. You know, when you go out there and you kind of prepare the soil and then you get your grass seed and you go out there and you throw it out. And I thought about what that meant when you sow sparingly. I've watched before where I've seen folks that get a little handful and they would just kind of sprinkle it around. where me, I was taking the stuff and I was slinging it out there because I thought I really want and I need a lot of grass in that particular area. And the only way to get that is to be able to put the seed out there. So when we're thinking about giving and when we're talking about giving, you know, Paul is encouraging the Christians at Corinth to maintain a commitment that they had made to give, to take care of those who were less fortunate than them. And he's wanting them to honor their commitment. But he also says, you know, if you're only just going to do a little bit, he says, that's what you're going to reap. Many times I've mentioned throughout the course of being able to come to you either by video or through the church that I've used that term, the law of sowing and reaping. And I call it a law because a law is something that happens every time. We mentioned that a few weeks ago. But when you think about the law of sowing and reaping, the Lord says that that whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But he takes it a step further where he says, if you sow sparingly, then you will reap sparingly. You can't expect to give just a little and then you be receiving a great deal in return. So he says, let's look at that verse again. In the middle of it, he says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So my question for you today is, when it comes to giving, and I mean every aspect of giving, are you being sparing with how you sow, or are you being generous with how you sow? Verse 7 says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Now, let me give that to you in a different translation, because I think it makes a little bit more sense when we read it in the ESV. It says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. As you have decided in your heart. Now, I know that there are times when you have felt led to contribute to a cause, whether it was somebody in need, whether it was something that was taking place in your church, whether it was something in your family. But you've been a little reluctant to do that. It says that each one, as they give, must decide in their heart, not reluctantly. It's not one of those situations where you sit back and say, oh, well, you know, this is really going to hurt and that sort of deal. Although we might have that in our heart, or we might be thinking that. Is that really because we're being selfish and not wanting to give what we've been led to give as the Lord leads us? And then it goes on and says, God loves a cheerful giver, not a grumbler. Yeah, I think about that. Of course, I'm a pastor, so therefore, when I think about the opportunities of the offering being collected in the church, sometimes it makes you wonder whether when the plate comes by, if somebody sits there and they're like, it's hard to get rid of this, it's hard to let go of it. Obviously, we all like to have a little bit more stuff or have a little bit more money, but when God has given us the command to give to Him, He says, and be a cheerful giver. Are we being cheerful givers as we give to Him? Are we doing so that we might like sow a great harvest? He says, verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart. What have you decided in your heart about being faithful to the tithe and the offering that the Lord has commanded of us? You've already made that decision. You make that when you decide to either go over to the website and click on that electronic giving, or when you're at church and you pass by that offering box. What have you decided in your heart? Have you decided that you're going to be faithful to what God has commanded us to do? And he says, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The one who says, you know what, I know times may be tight, but I'm going to give this anyway because this is what the Lord has commanded. And but you can't outgive God. And I'll probably circle back to visit that shortly. But these verses actually tell us that you're not going to be able to outgive God. I've tried that in my personal life. I had put that to the test. And it seems like every time I try to outgive God, He circles back and does great and incredible things that honestly make me laugh. So God loves a cheerful giver. Are you a cheerful giver? Are you giving, or are you sowing plentifully that you might reap plentifully? Verse 8 goes on and says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Very important verse. Again, I want to give this to you in the translation of the ESV. Verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency..." And when you think about sufficiency, what that means is contentment is the way that's translated. Sufficiency or contentment. "In all things at all times, that you may abound in good works." So what God is saying there, think about it. His grace, that unmerited favor that we have spoken so much of, is able to abound in you, that you have all contentment and all sufficiency in your life to be able to accomplish what God's will is in all things for a reason. Now, the latter part of verse 8 gives us that reason, that you may abound in every good work. The Lord has called each and every one of us with special talents, gifts, and abilities. I even know some people who God has given the gift of giving. He has supplied them with plenty, but yet they understand that it is truly from God, and they use what God has given them to honor and glorify Him. I've shared many times that over the years, and particularly back in the days when I was a youth pastor, there were folks that I knew who had that gift of giving, and when it would come time for a youth camp or something that we had going on, that person would tell me. He didn't do it in a boastful way, but they would come up and they would say, "Hey, look, if you've got somebody that's not able to go, they're not able to afford the price, give me a call. I want to make sure that they're able to go." And it didn't matter how many they were. I'm grateful that God allowed us to have that conversation, myself and that person, so that I could understand their heart and their gift of giving. Because when I had times that I would come up and say, "Look, I have five young people that aren't going to be able to afford to go on this trip." And they'd say, "Well, how much is that?" And I'd say, $250 a piece. And they would write a check that day. Not that they would be recognized for it, because in fact, they did it in secret. The Lord says, you give in secret and I will bless you for that. He says, if you do it that you might receive reward or praise or accolades from people, then you've received your reward already. But what a great, great privilege that was. This person honored God by taking what God had blessed them with and putting it to work for His honor and for His glory. Now, it goes on in verse 9, and it actually quotes an Old Testament passage, which is Psalm 112, 9. It says, "As it is written," and that's where that is, Psalm 112, 9. It says, "He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever." And then he starts getting a little bit more into the particulars of this when we get into verse 10. He says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower." Notice that's a capital H in "he." He. That is our Lord and our Savior. "Now may he," our Lord and Savior, "who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Now, let's back up and start to unpack that a little bit, because there was a whole lot that was said in that verse. We've already established that He is our Lord who supplies to the sower. Who is the sower? The sower, that is you and I. I've said so many times and will continue to say it, that God wants us to be His hands, His feet, His voice in this world as we go about. So we are the sower. He is the one who supplies our need. He goes on and says, "And bread for food." May He do what? May He supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Multiplication. God doesn't just simply deal with addition. He wants to deal with multiplication. He wants to take your faithfulness in your giving, and He will take it and multiply it. Very often, you have heard us say when we pray, "Lord, may you take this tithe and offering, may you multiply it for your honor, for your glory." I have seen God stretch a dollar bill further than I've ever seen anybody do it in my life, because He doesn't have to stretch it. He has more. The Lord says this. He says, "I am the owner of the cattle of a thousand hills." Everything belongs to Him. He can truly take our faithfulness. He can take our gifts. He can multiply them. And notice what it says. It makes it personal at the end of verse 10. And He says, "And increase the fruits of your righteousness." Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you, but in other words, the fruits for His honor, for His glory. That is a key thing when we think about giving. Why is it that we give? Why is it that we give the tithe and the offering? It's not simply that we may be blessed. That is a byproduct of faithful giving. But we give that the Lord may be praised, that the Lord might be the one who is seen as the sustainer, as the provider. That is a tough, tough situation with a lot of people. And I'll kind of revisit that in a moment as I think about or give you an example of being a cheerful giver and God making sufficient supply to accomplish His will. But let's go back to verse 11. And it says, "And while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving to God." That is the whole reason that we give. We give so that we might be a representative of God. Not that people might look at us and say, well, Roy's a generous guy, or insert your name, is a generous guy. It's not that we might be praised for what's taking place and what's going on. It's that the prayers of that person who has said, "Lord, you know what? My family's going to go hungry today if you don't supply. And your word says, give us this day our daily bread." And then you happen to be on your ministry project or what have you. The Lord led you to either provide some finances for that person. The one thing that we must understand is that we are just being stewards. It doesn't belong to us. You know, my bank account doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. But God expects us to be good stewards of what He has given us, that we might use it in the lives of other people, not that we might be honored and glorified, but that He might be honored and glorified. So everything we do for the Lord. We're using His money. We're using His automobile. We're using His home to provide that hospitality. God has provided us the job that we have, that not only our needs might be met, but that we might be able to be gracious givers in the hearts and the lives of those that He will put in our way to be able to see the need. And it says, verse 11, "While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Isn't it great when you can take those opportunities to be able to say, "Lord, I want to thank you that you chose me to be your instrument in somebody else's life, that you might get praise." Listen, folks, be very, very careful that you point the praise and the direction in the way of God, towards God, when it comes down to circumstances and situations. Often people will come and say, "Thank you so much. I was in a desperate time and I really needed that financial help. Thank you so much." You know, it's all right to say, "Well, you know what, you're welcome, but here's what you need to understand. Yeah, God is the one who led me to you. It is God's money. He is the one who is supplied, that the praise and the glory might go to Him and not to man." You know, so every one of us love when somebody gives us praise, or when somebody gives us those words of affirmation. But we have to remember who we represent and who we're working for when it comes down, particularly to our giving. Verse 12 says, "For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints," that's you and me. He says it supplies the need to us. It supplies, in this case, the gifts that were being given to support those who didn't have, as well as those who were workers in the ministry at the church in Corinth. It says, "For this administration," verse 12, "of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also abounding through many thanksgiving to God." It was caused, the people that's needs were being met were truly praising God for what was taking place, knowing that it was God who was the one who was giving the supply, and that was where the praise was going, rather than toward man. Verse 13, "While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them all." Now, let me give that one to you again in a translation that's a little easier to understand. It says, "By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contributions for them and for all others." In other words, that is saying that you are living what you believe. When you tell people that God is the one who is the supplier, when God is the one who is the sustainer, And you prove that by your generosity and your giving. That's what the Lord is saying. He's saying it gives glory to God. They sit back and look and say, wow, this person right here trusts God. Look what God is doing in their life. And that's not just about monetary gain, but that's in so many other ways. That is walking the walk, not just simply talking the talk. And it says that through their generosity, it wasn't just enough to get by. It was a generous gift that they were giving. It was an ample supply to meet not only the need, but to be able to have a little bit extra along the way. Verse 14 says this, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. And then he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And he says that with great joy. When it comes down to giving, one of the things that I often think about, and I've seen this play out in life, is that through the year, I've stated this so often that it probably becomes redundant, but it's been a great, great tool of teaching where God has taught me in my life so many, many lessons out on the mission field. I know that one of the things that has happened over the years as we plan for that that annual trip that we make to Cuba is for me to find little things to do or little ways to earn extra bits of money to be able to take down to Cuba and then wait on how God is going to use that in the hearts and the lives of other people. Now, it's not about just going in there and looking like Richie Rich and passing out money, but it's looking to see where God has taken and provided Roy Carter opportunity to make extra to be able to get it to the Cuban people in their ministry to supply a need or something that they have been praying for. It is incredible to see how those folks have sat back and said, well, you know, we've been praying for exactly what you just brought, or we've been praying for God to provide the financial support needed to get food or to get a piece of equipment or whatever it may be. It has just been amazingly incredible. And for me, it's been a joy. My joy comes not in being the one who gives the gift, not being the one that they sit back and say, oh, well, thank you, Roy. But my joy has come in knowing that God has used me as an instrument in his hand to supply a need that had been prayed for long before I ever even knew what was taking place. I always look at it and say, I am simply a messenger of the Most High God. And when we look at it that way, we will understand that everything we do is about bringing honor and glory to his name. Now, I know that folks within our church, there are a lot of very gracious and cheerful givers. It just is incredible to me, the folks that God has put in our church, the folks that God has put along the way that do such incredible things in the way of giving. And they don't do it for thanks of men. They do it that God's word may continue to progress. I'm coming to you today, you know, by way of a production that comes through a camera rather than standing in a church. All that took place because folks within our church said, we feel that this is a necessity and we want to contribute towards that. And what a glorious vision. How many people have been reached? Hundreds, even thousands of people have been reached since we've been broadcasting, rather than just being contained to the church property itself. And God loves that cheerful giver. Think about that. When you consider it in your life, there are some things that we look for as we go through our Bible study and promises to claim. God gives us a promise to claim in this particular passage when he tells us that he's going to supply all of our needs. And he is saying that he wants to use each and every one of us. He loves a cheerful giver. Now, it's not about how much you have, but the really cool part of this passage is that the Lord says, if you can be faithful with what it is that I have given you, he says, I am going to supply you even more. He says, if you're out there and you sow seed, he said, I'm going to supply you even more. Earlier in our broadcast, one of the things I mentioned is that I've tried to outgive God before, and I have never succeeded in doing so. Now, that doesn't mean that if you give here, and by the way, you shouldn't necessarily go out and try to outgive God to prove some sort of a point, but it's about being a cheerful giver. But when the Lord's led my heart and I've given something that was significant in a particular area, and I knew, I thought, well, yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit, but this is what God wants. I gave it cheerfully, and then the next thing I know, God has not only given it back, He's given it back plus some. I can't explain that other than the fact that it is truly a God thing. He says, if you sow liberally, if you sow that seed, and you do it with generosity, I will make sure that your bag of seed doesn't become empty. That is just God. How you do that, it reminds me of the story in the Bible that we read of the lady, the widow in the oil that was about to lose her two sons, and she was told what to do, and all she had was a jar of oil, and the prophet told her, you know, tell your sons to go get pots, get as many as possible, not just a few. So they went out and collected all of them, and he told her to begin to pour the little jar of oil into the bigger vessels, and as she would take the little vessel, and she would completely fill up this large vessel, and the sons kept bringing her vessels, and she kept taking out of that little jar of oil and filling those vessels until she said, son, bring me another vessel. And they said, well, we don't have any more, we're all out. It wasn't until then that the oil ceased. God's supply was there. God's supply was ample. So God may have only given you a little jar of oil, but I promise you, He wants to fill many mighty vessels with what it is that He has given you. If we will be faithful, if we will be faithful to take what we have, what God has given us, and use it for His honor and use it for His glory. Yeah, as we think about these particular passages, you know, Paul, the passage we looked at, essentially continues to urge the Corinthians to follow through on the commitments that they had made. See, they had agreed to contribute to the collection for the suffering Christians that were in Jerusalem at that time. And they should give willingly, they should give cheerfully according to what they had agreed to earlier. And not only did they anticipate what God would do, but they participated in meeting not only the physical, but the financial needs of others. And because of that, there was an overflow of thanksgiving, and that thanksgiving was given towards God and not those that were man. See, they'll build a connection with those suffering siblings in the Lord. And that's one of the things that has been so incredible to me as I've had the opportunity to do those missions over in Cuba. We have built a connection with those folks. This has been a very hard year for them. They are literally don't have food. You know, those that have gone, we have actually, you know, taken a collection and through channels that only God could provide, we're able to provide those needs for them. And it's not because of us. It's not that we want them to say, oh, thank you, missionaries of Central Baptist Church, but it's because we care about their condition. And our folks have given liberally and given generously that they might have literal food on the table to be able to survive. And we do that God might be gloried. Particularly the church at Bucaro has been a great blessing, that in the midst of all this that's been going on, in the midst of them not having even food to eat, they continue to say, God will provide, God will supply. They have such an incredible testimony, and we have such a community with them as believers in the Lord. And we're thankful to God that He has provided for us in a way that we can provide for them. He doesn't just give to us simply that just our needs might be met, but that the needs of others may be met. And He's using us as His hands and His feet. That is what is so great about the opportunity of being able to be a giver along the way there, is to say, Lord, look, God, You're getting the credit. You're getting the glory for all of the things that's going on. This chapter that we've just looked at really points out what God expects from His children, from a body of believers. And what He expects is faith-based, voluntary, and cheerful giving. Not giving in some legalistic or some oppressive or some sort of a mandatory way, but we give because God has blessed us and from an overflowing heart. And He says, don't just drop a little bit of seed out there. Sow a lot of seed, because whatever you sow, that you will also reap. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Listen, how are we sowing? How are we reaping? We started off this evening's message with the fact of that statement of it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And you know the joy when you've been able to do something for somebody that you've loved, you've invested some hard-earned money into it. really, it's about seeing the joy on their faces. I know around Christmas, that's one of the things that I'd often heard people say. I didn't understand it when I was younger. I kept saying, well, how could you say that, man? Christmas is about getting the presents and being able to open them up and all those kind of things. I mean, obviously, I knew the real meaning was the fact that that's when we celebrate Christ at Christmas. But yeah, it's kind of cool to be able to get. But I kept thinking, well, here was Mom and Dad, and we as kids never were able to really get anything of any substance or for them, but maybe a hand-drawn card, or maybe we purchased a card, or maybe something that seemed little and insignificant, and they received that like it was the greatest thing in the world, because they knew that it came from the heart. The reason that they were cheerful, the reason they celebrated, was because they saw the joy on our face when they were able to provide things for us. Folks, the same holds true in our Christian walk. God has blessed us. He has given us. And you sit back and say, well, yeah, I don't make, you know, millions of dollars a year. I don't make the kind of money everybody else makes. Well, God understands that, and He knows that. But He has provided for you a way to be able to sow into the lives of others in your giving. And my question is, have we found that? Are we honoring that? Are we giving cheerfully? Some of us at times have given begrudgingly. You know, the plates come around, but we know we've been taught, we know what's right, and we should give, and we've written that that check, and we've stuck it in the offering plate. God loves a cheerful giver. And remember this, not only will God supply, He will multiply each and everything that we've done. I promise you, you will not be able to outgive God. Are you going to give Him a try? Are you going to give Him a test? I want to challenge you. I actually encourage you to do that. Give it a try. Watch what God will do in your life. It's not always the check that comes up in the mail because of your faithfulness to giving. I've said many times, sometimes it means the tires may go more miles on the car. Sometimes it may be that somebody provides a meal for you where you didn't have to purchase one or buy groceries or whatever it may be. But who has God sent you to in life to be the one to sow into their lives the generosity that God has so richly blessed us with? I pray that you will take that challenge today to see what it is that God wants us to do in the way of giving. What do you think God's indescribable gift is? I think about, first of all, Jesus Christ and that sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And I think about the fact that we're His children. He takes care of His children. I think about the fact that He has given to us in a way that we can give to others. So my question is, are you giving to others what God has blessed you with? Sometimes that's monetary. You hear us say that this ministry cannot go forward without your help, without your giving, without your faithfulness to give of the tithe and of the offering. If you're watching this broadcast, if you don't have a home church, we encourage you, support our ministry. You can go over to our website at www.oakridgecdc.org, and there's a giving tab there. You could be begin your faithfulness right there today. If you don't have a church, we don't want you to take your tithe or gift away from your church. But if you don't have one, please consider supporting us that you might sow sparingly, because God will multiply that. We'll have an opportunity to reach more people with the gospel of Christ and train them to serve Him. So take up the challenge today. Give from the heart. Give as a cheerful giver and watch what God will do in the lives not only of other people, but also for you. Now, let me tell you what we're going to be looking at next week. Next Wednesday is going to be September the 23rd. We're going to be looking at scriptural passages that are going to come out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be looking at Paul's thorn in the flesh. Very interesting statement. Paul says, there was a thorn in the flesh given to me that I might not be proud. This is something God allowed in His life. And most of us understand the comment, a thorn in the flesh. We've used that at times in our own lives. But next week we'll study about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And we'll give you the scriptural passages for next week. So if you've got something to write with, or you can hit pause for just a moment. The passages for your reading that will begin today and run through next Wednesday will be 2 Corinthians chapter 12 through Galatians chapter 3. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 12 through Galatians chapter 3. What we ask is you just read one chapter a day. There's five chapters as we'll lead into next week. Don't try to read ahead. I want you to just read that one chapter a day. Concentrate on what the Spirit is telling you. Concentrate on what the Lord is trying to teach you as you read His Word just one chapter at a time. And then we'll come together next Wednesday and discuss Paul's thorn in the flesh out of the 2 Corinthians passage. So with that, don't forget, we do have Awana that's going to be starting up beginning on October the 4th. If you need some information on that, there's two ways you can get it. Commander Tony has two different videos on our social media sites. Although the backgrounds look the same, there's two different ones. He gives information as well as some frequently asked questions to help answer you, a little Q&A time. And if you have any direct question, you can email him at Awana, that's A-W-A-N-A, at oakridgecbc.org. We look forward to seeing you. We look forward to seeing your children on October the 4th. So let me close this in a word of prayer, and may God bless you as you become the cheerful giver that He wants you to be. Let's pray. Father, You're good to us. We thank You so much for the provision in our lives, provision on so many levels. Help us, Lord, to truly honor what You've given us, that You might be the one to receive the honor, the glory, and the praise. Help us to understand, Lord, that all we have truly comes from You, that we might go out and sow liberally, that we might reap liberally as well, and that You might reap the harvest. Father, it's a joy to be used as an instrument in Your hands. May we all experience what that's like, so that we would be willing, ready, and able each time You call upon us to serve You in whatever manner it may be, and especially in the way of giving. So Lord, give us a great week. Watch over us. Keep us safe and healthy as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you.